So, a new supervisor asked, hey, I want to do more as a new sergeant for my men and women here. Another guy reached out to me who is a new captain and said he wants to do more for his men and women. Where do I start? What do I do? Well, let's first off start with the basics. The basics are this. When you become a supervisor, you have to understand that it's not a selfish move to become a supervisor. It's a selfless move. So when you say, yes, I'll take those chevrons, I'll take those bars, I'll take those flowers, I'll take those eagles, it means now my job becomes, I'm going to do the best I can for the people that I'm here to serve. Not the vice versa. They don't work for you now. You now work for them. Your goal as a supervisor is to make sure, first and primarily, the people that you were there to serve are being served well. What does that mean? That means making sure that you are empathetic and seeing things from their side to begin with. And there's a theory on it. The first thing you got to look at is you got to understand everybody is not the same. You're going to have A, B, and C players. This is a common theory that's talked about quite a bit. You have to get that into your brain that not everybody's going to be the hard charger that's going to make you look shiny and bright in front of the town council. And you got to understand that. You have to understand everybody's a little different. Everybody writes reports a little different. As long as the factual data, what needs to be in the report is there, that's great. I would start by thinking about what is this person trying to get out of this profession? What are they? How can I serve them the best? What are they going to want that will make them perform or feel like they enjoy coming to work? We want to make sure that we are having our employees' best interests at stake. That's the first one. So understanding that it is not about you now. It is about them. That's it, right? You got the better schedule. You don't have to listen. But the core of it is what can I do to make life better for my men and women at this police department? What can I do? What can I do if I look around to make things better? The things that are good, you probably don't got to mess with them too much. If everybody likes a certain thing, unless you really believe that you can improve on something and ask somebody, just don't do it because you think it's a good idea. Because you know what? Maybe a sergeant or a captain or a lieutenant or a chief who is not good, full of good ideas, but that's okay because there are people in your rank and file who are. And one of the greatest strengths you can have is to go to them and say, hey, what do you think? I remember I was at a police department years ago when I first started teaching, and somebody brought an option to the chief, right? They said, hey, what do you want to do for this? Which shirt do you want to pick? And he saw like three guys walking down the hallway, and he goes, hey guys, come here. Pick one of these three shirts, which one you guys like the most, but take 5 minutes to think about it. And they said, we all agree shirt B was the best choice. I think everybody would like that here. He went, shirt B. We'll take shirt B. I was like, wow. What a great. So like the general consensus, making sure people are overall overwhelming majority is happy with the decision that you're making, right? Just doing things to do things doesn't mean you're serving people well. You've got to understand and ask. You can poll. What would you guys like to see more of? What can I do be better at? The door is open. Let me be whatever you need. Hey, if somebody needs a day off and there is nobody to cover your shift because of whatever, I'm available. Reach out to me. I'll come and knock out 4 hours or an 8 hour shift for you. I can help. Just have to ask because we are selfless. You want to talk about being respected as a leader? This is where it begins. The next thing you could do is spend a little time in some leadership books. I happen to believe, based on what I've ingested, so far, is Jocko Willink has a lot of good leadership books. The Dichotomy of Leadership, Extreme Ownership, two great books to read. If you're really serious about it, and you got another 20 years of being a good leader, that's a great place to start. So then that begins to spread. You can tell other leaders in your organization, hey, we should do it like this. This is what this guy said. He knows a little stuff about leadership. He gets paid $100,000 to do a talk somewhere. Obviously bringing some value regarding leadership. That's a great way to go about it. So doing some research, understanding how to become a better leader. There's a lot of periodicals and books and podcasts and videos on YouTube that you will be able to find some guidance how to become a leader. And then doing the extra work. I'm probably missing 24 more things, but these are three great places to start. What do I mean by extra work? If you know your patrol vehicles are crapola, they're not working, or you guys have really bad funding, maybe try to say to yourself, if we have bad funding, how do we get good funding? And spending that extra time trying to research and going into where's their grant money, calling other police departments, hey, how do you guys have new patrol cars or new fleet every 3 years? What are you doing? What are you getting? And you might find out that they're getting some grant money from somewhere. Hey, you know, really trying to implement the positive change, not the negative change. So you have to think about, now what can I do to serve them on a practical sense? Am I really understanding? And again, you don't even have to be the person that understands it. You just have to be the person that whose ears are open and you can take orders from them. Hey, what would you guys like to see? You know what? We like those outer vest carriers. Everybody has them. We're the only ones who don't have them. Here's the reasons why we're like, look, you don't have to sell me. I get it. You want them? Everybody wants these things? Yeah. All right. Give me three options to choose from. Tell me why. And then we'll come together and decide. What are we going to get? Right? You got 100, 200 guys. Send an email out. Guys, here's your three options. We're going to put three guys on this board. We're going to have an answer in 2 weeks. They're going to bring me three options, right? And if those guys drop the ball and they don't do the job properly, you can just reassign it. You don't get to get mad. You realize you can't depend on those people for bringing you the three options. But it doesn't mean the whole thing falls to the wayside because one person screwed up. You also have to understand that when mistakes occur, you have to give the benefit of the doubt. We're not here to be punitive. We're not here to be the father that nobody wants. We want the big brother that we need, not the father that nobody wants. So punitive reactions to things is a horrible way to go about it. Like heavy suspension departments, you're not doing anybody justice. You're actually doing society an injustice, because when you start to behave like that, you are taking the wind out of the sail of those who are coming in and laying their life on the line to try to do a job that many people don't want to do, they're scared to do. And especially in today's world where the media is painting you as a villain, to still show up and selflessly say, for this meager salary, I'm going to go out here and put my life on the line every single day. You have to take that into account, that these guys and girls really need you to show up and be their big brother, not their alcoholic father. You know what I'm saying? Nobody needs a fucking alcoholic father. Anybody's had an alcoholic father that used to beat them, we'll tell you, that's the worst thing you could have in life. We need a big brother who says, I get it. This is life. This is how things happen sometimes. I'm not going to change the whole thing because one guy screwed up, right? We're not going to have knee-jerk reactions because the news. Like, you want to expose yourself as somebody who's a non-leader, act rapidly. There's a great saying by, again, one of my favorite authors, Seth Godin, says, people believe that it's don't just stand there, do something. And he believes it should be stand there, don't do anything. Because knee-jerk reactions never solve anything. So we take a breath, we try to have a different perspective, and we say, what happened here? What can we do before we respond? And what makes the most sense? How's this going to solve this issue? We clearly see that tearing communities down and, it is very obvious where leadership is in this profession. It is very obvious when you see people, especially at large cities, how they're behaving, how they're reacting to certain situations, and how they're folding like cheap chairs and offering no solutions, offering knee-jerk solutions that solve no issues. Clear as day as where they're at and their ability to lead and run an organization, which is pretty much not at all. They're really not good at that. By the way, if you're one of those people and your people are giving you radical candor back that was not a good idea, this is not a good idea, you need to open your ears and listen, because we have to be open to criticism. Not all of it, but some of it. You need to hear things, even for me. I am always open to criticism. Especially if somebody comes to class and says, I didn't like that you said that because I know it was a joke, but it was offensive to me. That's a real thing for me to think about and me to heed caution on. When they send John, who's been writing tickets for 19 years, he's miserable, hates the place, gets 17 internals a day, and he doesn't like my training, that's something that I don't care about. But somebody who really appreciated it but had some candor or some criticisms about the things that I did, that really could mean that I can improve at some level, I'm listening. I'm all ears. You know, we're going to listen to stuff like that. These are some of the principles you can, and once you start deep diving into it, it's so rewarding for your guys and girls to regard you as somebody who actually cares. Do people in your agency regard you as somebody who cares? Are they actually regarding you as that? Are you somebody who people, when they tell other people about you, say, he's a great guy, she's a great girl. They do the best they can for us. We know it. Even though we don't have much to work with, she makes it work for us. Or are they saying the opposite? Guy only gives a shit about himself. We got people who are new on this job who are making half what that person's making, and this guy still goes out and takes all the overtime. We got guys who can't put food on the table for their three kids, military veterans. But this dude who makes three times his salary is out taking all the security jobs. I've worked with people like that. What do you think people think about that? They smile to your face because they're scared of you. Behind your back, they know who you are. You're a snake. You're not selfless. You're selfish. The biggest strength a leader in law enforcement can have is to have selfless behavior. I just don't know any other practical advice I'd give behind besides that. Okay? Selfless behavior, not selfish. Designing things in your best interest. Like, we had layoffs in 2008, right, in New Jersey. And I never forget, like, one of the chiefs in Monmouth County retired, and they put an officer in charge in place so a gentleman at the bottom didn't have to get laid off. You know, man, like, what? You want to talk about one of the most selfless things. The guy could retire, so he just, you know what? I don't know the details. I remember reading the article. I remember hearing about it from people. You know what? I'm good. I'll figure it out. This guy needs the job more than I do. I did my 27 years and pulled the plug and made a deal with the town. And the gentleman got to keep his job. I think maybe even two guys got to keep their jobs, some shit like that. At your judgment day, the last day on earth, what are you going to look back on and think that you should have done differently, right? Are you going to say to yourself, I did serve selflessly. I did everything I could for these guys and girls. And nobody's expecting you to bring everything you can. But it starts with being friendly, being their big brother, being somebody they can come to, right? I always find those parents interesting, the ones who are like real control freaks and lunatics. Their kids never tell them anything, right? The daughter's off being a, you know what, in the background. These are the craziest girls. Like, I was a single guy for years. The craziest girls had the strictest parents. And it was just the opposite. So I always tell my wife, I don't want to have my kids wanting to lie to me because they're worried about the repercussions of telling me the truth. Even now, we're behaving to raise them in a way where we want to hear the truth, and the repercussions, although there's some accountability, will not be severe, right? That's how you do it. That's how we think so far. So these are the things you need to think about when you don't have to have all the answers, but this is a great place to start. And when you are committed to making a change, right? Somebody asked me this the other day. He said, why is it always about leadership? I said, because if we're looking to implement change, it starts here. And it starts with future leadership. It starts with understanding and not forgetting what it feels like and how you felt you could have been better served. But when you want to change, you can. Right? When you really believe that you should show up and be the best you can for your guys and girls, because that's what it is. Right? They don't work for you now. I never forget my friend, he's at a large agency here, and they're very military, da-da-da-da-da, right? And he showed me a text, and the sergeant in his thing said, I can't believe nobody asked me what I wanted for lunch yet. And I never forget reading this text on his phone. He's like, you want to see what we deal with? This is how our sergeants behave. Why haven't his slaves brought him lunch yet or asked him what he wanted? And then on top of it, he makes them pay for the food. Do you think that guy's ever going to get respect? Ever? As a supervisor? You think I don't know what he's all about? You think he's somebody that likes to hear the things that I'm saying? Tradition's a joke. If we had tradition around still, we'd be lopping people's heads off, right? We'd be doing barbaric things. So things have to change and progress. Law enforcement has to be that way. Understand that this paramilitary leadership process of how things are done doesn't work anymore. Just doesn't work. Doesn't fly. You're not going to get through to people by being an asshole and pulling rank. People hate you. They don't have to. You can make a decision on how you want to behave. You want to be hated or you want to be loved. I've worked for a lot of great guys and girls. A lot of good ones. And some of them didn't even know what they were doing. And that's okay because they didn't have to. They didn't pretend to know everything. They had enough humility to say, hey, can you help me out with this? What do you think about this? Ask this guy. Hey, how do you find that? How'd you get that? Da-da-da. Things like that. But if you're proactively trying to serve, it begins with being their big brother, not their alcoholic father, and making sure that you're taking care of them. Because it's a tough job to figure out. And when they know they have somebody to fall back on and lean on, they can trust, that goes a long way. And when they can't, they don't come to you for anything. We used to have a guy we worked with. He was a captain, right? And guys, we would have muster. You see this guy come down the hall, and our lieutenant would be like, don't say anything. Here comes the asshole. Don't say shit. here comes the asshole. Everybody just stop. He'd walk in. He'd say something stupid. And he'd be like, fuck that, this fucking guy. Right? And then he thought he was doing a good job. And everybody fucking hated the guy. He knew everybody hated him. He pretended like they didn't because they would kiss his ass because you know why? He was heavy with the fucking pen. Everybody kiss his ass. Is that how you want to be remembered? And this guy to this day is still that fucking delusional. He thinks that somebody liked him there. Like his one other friend at the whole police department. Because if you kissed his ass enough and played with him enough, he would give you things. But you were trading off, man. Like people would know who you were. You wouldn't. People would know who you were. Literally walked down the hallway and we're like, here comes bullshit. Here comes some stupidity. 14 miles down the road, here it comes. And our, even our lieutenant, our sergeant, like, shh, he's coming down the hall. Shh, don't say it. Don't say anything. He'd walk in. He's like, oh, yeah, how you doing? I just wanted to tell everybody. He leaves like this fucking guy. Are you that delusional to think, this fucking guy.
I came up with an idea today. Nope, nothing to help anybody. Just to fuck you guys over more and more.
Real, real good. That's how you want to behave. That's how a leader should behave. How can I fuck over the troops more and more? How can I make life more difficult? How can I tell you and try to explain to you why our decisions to do things that we did, everybody hates, has to really matter? And then we all just sit there and go, oh, yeah, we get that. And we just know that you are. And you leave and we're just like, fuck this guy. Right? Like, fuck this guy. Why? It doesn't have to be that way. Great captains. Come down and look, we don't, you know, really giving a nice talk. Really giving some inspirational things and like selfless. Hey, I'm going to try to get you guys this and da da da. And then sorry, like, hey, don't worry about that. We got that. Listen, that happens. What are you going to do? Those are the guys. If you're a supervisor and your guys from your squad are holding their reports till 2 minutes before shift ends, till you leave, and then hitting submit because the next sergeant that comes along actually knows what they're doing, that's a real big clue, right? I remember having people like, hey, you know, I got to get your reports too. You got to send them my way. You're kicking them back. So you don't even know what you're talking about. You're kicking them back on things that you don't need to kick them back for. We don't want to do this again. You're making us three times the fucking work. You have no clue what you're doing. Right? Recognize that. I'm really apprehensive here at this company to like ever sound improper. I'm like, hey, you know, is that like, did that sound like me being a dick? They're like, no, no, you're like, not at all. I'm like, no, no, don't bullshit. They're like, no, we would tell you to fucking be like, you're, that didn't sound bad. Anyway. Darren Mowry writes, any recommendations for new supervisors experiencing a regime change with the new sheriff in January? I don't know what you mean by that. Like going to, look, you know, it's a tough game. You're not in charge. But there are a lot of things you can do. Even if the top doesn't want you to do that. You know, if you have decided to be a henchman and you're going to be a company man, you know, once you say I'll wear that black hood, right? I'm going to hand me the axe. Give me those things that go around the wrists, right? And send me to the guillotine. You can't come back from that. You know what I mean? So you don't have to go along with things you don't agree with. You don't have to completely defy it. You don't want to lose your job over it. But, you know, that's where it begins, man. Frontline supervisors standing up for the men and women. Guys, we're not making them do this. I don't fucking care. I mean, we just had a memo come out from Howell Police Chief, right? It made headlines where he wrote a thing out to everybody. We're not enforcing this governor's order on Thanksgiving to start dinging our residents for having too many family members over for Thanksgiving. You know, things like that go a long way. It really matters. Hats off to that guy, you know? Hats off to him for saying something like that. Nobody wants to go out and do that. Nobody wants to go out and wreck somebody's holidays. And that's terrible, right? It's terrible. Governor's order. Like, we're not doing that. Bless your Aunt Rose because she's dying for the last time. You got to go write him a ticket. Come on. So, I don't know. You know, just think about it. The one thing I give you is this. No matter who you're working under, it doesn't mean you can't be good to your men and women. You do not have to fall in line. You have to listen and go out and be somebody who is a company man. We had a guy who traded his soul in my agency. And I haven't worked there 5 years. I don't give a shit. I don't care what they think. And they know who exactly when they hear these videos, we show it. Look what this guy said. They know exactly who they are. And by the way, for the guys and girls who were good there, thank you for always being good to us, right? Thank you for always being going against the grain and being there and being selfless and serving us well. But we had a guy who became a henchman, right? He traded his soul. Traded his soul and became a henchman. I don't care what he thinks. And would say things. I called him twice saying this to me. Look at me. I sound like a company man. Because you are. You became a company man. I don't hate you. But don't pretend like it's not. You became a company man. You'll do what they tell you to do. Trade it in. Trade it in what you believed in. Anything in your heart and soul. Become a company man. You don't got to do that to get ahead. Anyway. My last chief took months to make up his mind on vets, for examples. Doesn't need to be months. And that chief just needs to have somebody that they can consult with and say to the deputy chief, to the captain, the person who's making good calls right away and can make rapid decisions. Like, yo, what do you think we should do with this? Like, there should be a consultation. Like, when we make decisions here, I always consult everybody in this office. Like, what do you guys think about this? What's the idea on this? Unless I know it's a real grand slam home run idea. And I'm like, that's good. Let's do that right away. But I don't drag my feet on it. See you guys. Wowzer, Finnick, the Schnauzer. Nice knowing you.